The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades, in the intellectual wilderness of South Lodoella, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
And on a day like today, the fact that it doesn't snow here is a good thing. Now, we in Florida are getting some of this massive Arctic cold front coming through. But just to put things in perspective, while we're seeing the majority of the nation in a deep freeze, here in Coral Springs, Florida, it is currently 83 degrees. The low tonight will be a chilly 67. Just saying. Don't hate us because we're warm. we have to put up with Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago and all the Florida men and women and everything else that goes on down here. So, I guess it all equals out in the wash, right? What a day. Oh, my goodness. I'm Nicole Sandler. Welcome to the show. It's a brand new week because, these days we still start on Tuesdays around here. We'll see. That may or may not change in the future. Busy news day. As usual, I don't think there's any such thing as a slow news day anymore. But, already this morning, a lot of news happened. For instance, a couple of big stories out of the Supreme Court. First of all, the Supreme Court ruled, in a sense, that they will not stop a lawsuit brought by Sandy Hook victims' families against Remington. Yes, the gun manufacturer. The manufacturer of the semi-automatic rifle used in the massacre at Sandy Hook. The court decided not to take up an appeal by Remington, thus opening the door to a lawsuit. The victims' families of the Newtown massacre can now sue the gun manufacturer, and that's a good thing. The other thing that happened in the Supreme Court today is they heard arguments on a Trump administration challenge to lower court rulings that blocked the administration from ending the DACA program. Of course, DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or the DREAMer program. And it's very, very sad because it doesn't look good. Let me see if I can't find. I did have a few threads that I saved on Twitter. I'm sure Laffy has got some of these to share with you today as well. But let me see. The news doesn't look good. All the accounts that I saw regarding the, let me see if I can't find one of those threads. The hearing this morning is that, the Dreamers got a good hearing today at the Supreme Court, but it probably wasn't enough. And of course, now I can't find any of these, these threads that I just read. Ugh. All right, maybe I've got something in my email. I just read a whole bunch of stuff and I thought, okay, I've got the information on the Supreme Court hearing. Yeah, this is not what I wanted. Was it on here? Okay, so here, from Politico, they send out their playbook. And what they wrote, hearing arguments Tuesday in Washington, the justices suggested they will be ideologically divided in the DACA case, with at least five conservative justices backing the Trump administration. So again, it doesn't look good. And actually, I reached out this morning to a Dreamer that I know. I first met Gabby Pacheco about 10 years ago, when we were both DFA scholars. We were we won scholarships from Democracy for America to go to Netroots Nation back, I believe, in 2010. So we were in the same freshman class, as it were. And what happened is that's when I got to know Gabby Pacheco, who was a dreamer. She still is these days. She's the program director and advocacy development and communications for the dream.us. So I emailed her this morning and asked if, you know, I know she's in DC. Obviously, I'm guessing she was at the Supreme Court or nearby, and asked her if she would join us on the air for a quick conversation. And she said, yeah, I would love to. How are you? But the phone number that I have for her doesn't seem to work, and I can't get in touch with her now. So if by some chance I do hear from her before the end of the hour, we'll get Gabby Pacheco on the line. If not today, then maybe one day this week. Obviously, this week is going to be filled up with a lot of stuff, because tomorrow begin the public hearings on the impeachment. Oh! So those happened. In other news, before we get to the What's News segment that I put together this morning, the Roger Stone trial appears to have been wrapped up. A couple of notes from the Roger Stone trial that we learned. Well, somebody who has a Twitter account, Politics Video Channel, tweeted, breaking, wow, Rick Gates just testified. Candidate Trump talked to Roger Stone about WikiLeaks. Donald Trump told special counsel Robert Mueller under oath in writing that Roger Stone did not tell him about WikiLeaks. Yes, it seems that what we learned today in the Roger Stone trial from Rick Gates, who we know testified extensively in the Mueller probe, is that, Donald Trump lied under oath. Even though he never spoke with Mueller, he did answer some questions in writing, and it appears he lied. David Korn from Mother Jones tweeted, Trump got off the phone with Stone and told Gates that more was coming from WikiLeaks. But Trump told Mueller he didn't recall ever speaking to Stone or anyone else about what WikiLeaks would be doing. This is a big indicator that Trump lied to Mueller, which David Korn writes could be a crime. And not could be, it is a crime. He lied under oath. It's perjury. It's a crime. Hello. And here's someone else. I didn't make note of who wrote this, but someone else said, here's how the question went by the prosecutor, whose name is, just to confuse us even more, Zelensky. Because, you know, yes, the Ukrainian president's name is Zelensky, not to be confused with one of the prosecutors in the Roger Stone case, whose name is Aaron Zelensky, who was a former Mueller prosecutor. So here's how it went. After Trump got off the phone with Mr. Stone, what did Mr. Trump say? And Gates said, quote, he indicated more information would be coming. And then the next thing we learned is that Roger Stone will not testify. Closing arguments likely, tomorrow. And then it's all over but the jury ruling. So go figure. All right. There is lots of other news today. So instead of doing it live, we'll go to the videotape. Jim?
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Dream on, dream on, dream on, dream until your dream comes true.
The Supreme Court is hearing arguments Tuesday on a Trump administration challenge to lower court rulings that blocked the administration from ending the DACA program, something Trump announced he would do in 2017. Administration officials argue the program interferes with its immigration enforcement efforts and sanctions the violation of federal law. But they've been challenged in court by civil rights, legal, and immigration groups. Supporters of the policy, formerly known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, say it merely codified the president's existing power to set enforcement priorities. Either way, the fate of some 700,000 people hangs in the balance, depending on how the court rules. As the nation prepares for the beginning of public impeachment hearings this week, the release of transcripts of the depositions taken behind closed doors continues. On Monday, the testimony of Laura Cooper was released. She's the top Pentagon official overseeing U.S. policy regarding Ukraine. Cooper told the investigators that Trump himself directed the relevant agencies to freeze aid to Ukraine, saying that she attended a meeting where, quote, this issue of Trump's concerns about Ukraine and Ukraine security assistance came up. She said that the president's concerns were conveyed by acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. Just days after that meeting, she testified, she found out that both military and humanitarian aid had been halted. CNN has obtained a leaked GOP memo outlining their four anti-impeachment talking points. John Berman tore it apart.
CNN has obtained this internal memo circulated by House Republicans outlining the four main points Republican lawmakers plan to push to defend the president as the impeachment inquiry goes public tomorrow. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think I need to be one to be astonished by how weak these four main assertions are by the congressional Republicans here. Number one, the July 25th call shows no conditionality. Well, you don't need conditionality. You only need to read the president pushing or coercing the leader of Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. Plus, mountains of evidence suggests there was conditionality, well known and implied, over the 2 months of the summer. Zelensky and Trump said there was no pressure on the call. Donald Trump, not a reliable witness in this case. And Zelensky, not either. He needs the United States as an ally. The Ukrainian government was not aware of the hold of aid on the July 25th call. That may be true. However, they were aware into August, and also they were aware that a meeting was being held up by the two leaders. And number four, the security hold was lifted on September 11th. Yeah, after the White House knew about the whistleblower report.
Well, a Donald Trump-appointed federal judge on Monday decided that Donald Trump cannot currently sue New York State officials in a Washington, D.C. court to stop the release of his tax returns. In his lawsuit, Donald Trump sued to preemptively block the committee from requesting the returns, New York Attorney General Letitia James from enforcing the law, and to stop the New York Department of Taxation from furnishing the documents. MSNBC's Pete Williams described the ruling as the judge saying, quote, I'm a judge in Washington. I don't have the jurisdiction to decide this case. Go somewhere else and file your lawsuit, end quote. From the Please Stop Now files, former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is reportedly considering launching a last-minute presidential bid. I'll just leave that right there. Bundle up. About 70% of the country is experiencing record-breaking temperatures. Places from Chicago to Tennessee are already being buried under unseasonable amounts of snow. And if you're traveling, yeah, watch out. More than 1,200 flights were canceled Monday at Chicago's O'Hare Airport, and an American Eagle flight slid off the runway. Thankfully, no injuries, but this was due to icy conditions. Bolivia's former president, Evo Morales, is leaving the country, but he has sworn that he will return with more strength and energy. Morales accepted an offer of political asylum from Mexico after stepping down Monday amid nationwide protests regarding the outcome of the Bolivian general election in October. Morales has described this situation as a coup, a charge echoed by his allies in South America. Violent clashes continue to pepper the country after Morales' resignation on Monday, and the Bolivian armed forces announced they will carry out joint operations with police, quote, to avoid blood and grief. A new proposal by the Environmental Protection Agency could seriously complicate the creation of new clean air and water regulations. According to the New York Times, the EPA plans to limit the scientific research that the government can use to form public health regulations, and it would require scientists to disclose their raw data for the agency to consider a study's conclusions. This would also apply retroactively. Academic studies used in public health policies often rely on confidentiality agreements because of personal health disclosures. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Please click on that donate button. Oh, yes, because that's how we survive. We being the royal we. All right. It is Tuesday, and I realized after I hit the What's News audio that I neglected to start with the funny for today. And God knows we need our funny. So for that, for today, we turn to the amazing, the one, the only, John Oliver.
Joining us, and let's dive straight in this week with what we've been calling Stupid Watergate 2. The scandal that's like getting a rubber chicken stuck in your ass. It's obviously kind of funny, but also actually serious, and something really needs to be done about it. Now, this week, the House continued calling witnesses ahead of public impeachment hearings that will start next Wednesday. But the president has already figured out who is really to blame for everything and chose his daily helicopter yell time to share it with everyone.
It's called the swamp. And you know what happened? And you know what I did? A big favor. I caught the swamp. I caught them all. Let's see what happens. Nobody else could have done that but me.
That might actually be Donald Trump at his Donald Trumpiest. First, screaming something nonsensical, I caught the swamp. Then, doubling down on it, I caught them all. And finally, bragging about how great he was at doing something that didn't mean anything in the first place. Nothing there made any sense, and yet you just know, in 2 days, his website will be sold out of I Caught the Swamp hats. Because that's the fucking world we live in right now. But that wasn't even the most desperate defense of the president employed this week, because that honor must go to Lindsey Graham, a man whose very face looks like a nana who just found out what thruples are. Argued that he knows the president didn't demand a quid pro quo with some spectacular logic.
What I can tell you about the Trump policy toward the Ukraine, it was incoherent. It depends on who you talk to. They seem to be incapable of forming a quid pro quo.
So, wait, to be clear here, Graham's defense has gone from there was no quid pro quo to Trump is too dumb to do one. And that argument alone is terrifying. Graham is essentially saying the president's an idiot. He's like a baby stumbling around aimlessly in a diaper full of his own boom boom. And that is why he must stay in office and retain access to the nuclear codes. But while Stupid Watergate 2 continues to unfold, this week actually brought news from the previous version, Stupid Watergate 1, Rise of the Planet of the Stupid. Now, you may remember the plot here was actually pretty solid. Essentially, it was about the Trump campaign's contacts with Russia. Who talked to whom, and what did the president know? A lot of that came out in the Mueller report, but certain details, like those involving WikiLeaks, were redacted because they pertain to ongoing cases. Well, this week, one of those cases reached a courtroom, and at the center of it is Roger Stone, a steampunk Andy Warhol who is in a lot of trouble.
Roger Stone's trial for allegedly lying to Congress got underway in a Washington, D.C. courtroom today. Federal prosecutors argued that Stone lied to Congress about his efforts to connect with WikiLeaks in 2016 because the truth looked bad for Donald Trump.
Right. Roger Stone is accused of lying to have the president's back, not to be confused with having a lying president on his back, because Stone has this actual tattoo, which is simply the weirdest tattoo I have ever seen. Not just because it's of Richard Nixon, but because it is somehow both too big and not big enough. And the placement of it is terrible. It looks like someone sent or justified a Nixon JPEG at the top of a blank Word document.
Ew.
Stone stands accused of misleading Congress about his efforts to get information from WikiLeaks. He claims that he never spoke directly with Julian Assange and testified in 2017 that he'd instead relied upon an intermediary, specifically this man, Randy Credico, a radio host and comedian. Credico has denied being that intermediary, and Stone has not reacted well to that because prosecutors read some of Stone's messages to Credico in court, and they are rough.
Stone writes to Credico, "You are a rat, a stoolie, you backstab your friends. I am so ready. Let's get it on. Prepare to die."
Holy shit! Although I will say, it's actually unsurprising to hear mafia-style threats coming from Roger Stone, a man who looks like his entire wardrobe consists of mob boss Halloween costumes from a discount racket Party City. And yet, Stone has argued that prepare to die has been taken out of context.
Ah, yes. And there you go. A little bit of John Oliver for your laughing Tuesday pleasure. So I did get a message saying that I was playing copyrighted video. So hopefully they don't block the video again. If they do, I'll wind up editing that bit out. It's always something, you know. Oh, so anyway, it is Tuesday. What do we do on Tuesdays? We get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, to, well, shoot the shit about the news. So.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yeah, that's what I said. So first we got to get her on the line. Let me push a few buttons here. And hello.
Yes, you've reached the Trump's phone call transcript hotline.
Ooh, but it's not really a transcript. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but it's more fun to call it that. Press 1 if you think Trump said it was a perfect call because his staff let him push the phone buttons all by himself.
Well, there was that, yes.
Press 2 if you think Trump made his ego rally crowd wear his read the transcript t-shirts because, well, that's the total number of words in a row they can read.
Well, there's that.
Press 3 if you think Trump thinks a transcript is a script that's undergone a sex change.
Well,
see, that's why I had to use the word transcript.
And he obviously doesn't know the meaning of the word transcript. I thought I had it right here. I do. It says right here, memorandum of telephone conversation. And at the bottom of the page, it says, a memorandum of a telephone conversation is not a verbatim transcript of a discussion. It says it right here on the call that I have printed out, not a verbatim transcript. And yet Donald Trump goes on and on about, we have people, we have professionals, this is what they do. They take a word-for-word transcript of everything that's said. Maybe you do, but that's not what that document was, you fucking moron.
Well, he also calls a lie the truth, and
yes,
and he also calls his that he drained the swamp, you know, he didn't, and he also
everything
lies about
you thought
everything
you knew. You never knew it all.
Here you go.
Sideways,
there it is.
Straight
yep.
ahead. Facts no longer matter.
Nope.
Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
And you know, Laffy, we've been talking about opposite world for years. I used that term back before Donald Trump ever even thought about running for president, because the Republicans have been doing this for eons, where they take a fact and they say, well, but I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. And they come out with something out of thin air. But Donald Trump does it in an exponential factor. Every word out of his mouth is a lie, and it's in Orwellian measures. He will not say the sky is blue. To him, it's green. Up is down, in is out, left is right. There is no reality anymore. We have entered opposite world in a dimension which we've never experienced before, and that's really saying something.
Oh, I know. In fact, back when I was blogging on the political carnival, I had made up my own little opposite world image that had it upside down and mirror image, you know, so you could see opposite world and then upside down and backwards opposite world. And I, you know, it was just kind of this is fun. You know, I'm going to use this. Now it's become like a mantra. That's exactly what he does. I mean, he's, of course, now created a situation in which America can't believe anybody in government, anybody in general, anybody in the press. I mean, that's what he's aiming for. That's what Russia is aiming for, so that the chaos they create leads them into another victory. That's exactly what they're hoping for.
Yep.
So their version of opposite world pays off, as opposed to the opposite world that we used to, you know, mock.
Right.
This is no longer mockage.
No. This is deadly serious. And it, the way it's grown, they believe in just blatantly lying, telling you the opposite of what's really going on with no compunction whatsoever. I don't know if you happened to see. I'm sure you didn't see Meet the Press on Sunday.
I won't watch it.
Okay. So I did. Well, I watched this segment because I heard about it. I didn't watch it, but I watched it afterwards. So Rand Paul was on. Rand Paul has turned from a peculiar character into a reprehensible piece of shit. I mean, as if he wasn't before, but now it's even more so. So he goes on. I'm going to play for you. It's less than 2 minutes. This clip of Rand Paul being interviewed by Chuck Todd, and fucking Chuck Todd doesn't know how to say, sir, that's just not true. So here's what happened between Chuck Todd and Rand Paul. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I promise you. I cut it down just so you can get the gist of what went on in this interview.
I think the American people want fairness, and I don't think they're going to judge fairness when they're accusing President Trump of the same thing Joe Biden did. Some kind of corruption's not investigated.
Oh my God.
It seems like everybody, both parties, have been threatening aid if some kind of investigation either doesn't happen or is ended.
No.
And so I think really what's going to happen is people are going to say, oh, they're impeaching President Trump for exactly the same thing that Joe Biden did.
But it isn't exactly what Joe Biden did. No, he didn't.
And supposedly the president did if they didn't investigate someone. So it sounds exactly like what Joe Biden did. And if they weren't going to impeach Joe Biden, they look like, you know, hypocrites in a way for going only after President Trump and having not a word to say about what Joe Biden did.
So you think it's perfectly appropriate for the president of the United States to have sought this quid pro quo from Ukraine's government? I want to set aside what Vice President Biden. I just want you to know: is it appropriate for the President of the United States to have engaged in this?
I think there's a real question whether you think the president should specifically go after one person, but there's a real question whether Joe Biden should have gone after one prosecutor.
Oh, fuck you. Okay, so it went on like that. Rand Paul wouldn't answer the question. Every time Chuck Todd asked him, you know, directly, is this okay? He said, well, Joe Biden did the exact same thing. What Chuck Todd should have said there is, no, Joe Biden didn't do the exact same thing. Again, I'm no Joe Biden fan, but this is bullshit. They're making this up. And he ends it by, I'm going to play you the last 10 seconds of this here.
Borrow the money from China to send it to Ukraine. So I'm against the aid, and I think it's a mistake to do the aid. So I wouldn't have played any of these games. But I think the American people think it's unfair to treat Trump under one standard and Joe Biden under a different standard.
But is that really being, I understand trying to go back. I go back to, do two wrongs make a right?
So there's Chuck Todd buying his false equivalency bullshit of two wrongs don't make a right. Joe Biden, I'm sorry, should not be president, but he did not do anything. He did nothing wrong here.
Shouldn't be a host.
Exactly. Exactly. So the next guest up after that was a Democrat who I'm not particularly a fan of either, Jim Hines. And Jim Hines looked like there was smoke coming out of his ears. And he basically answered the first question Chuck Todd had of him and then said, but I need to address what just happened here.
Oh, good.
And listen to what he said. This is the only reason I'm playing this whole thing, because somebody stood up to Chuck Todd and said, hold on, bucko. You know, you need to stop with this bullsiderism bullshit.
And Chuck, if you'll grant me 1 second here, my head is only now decombusting from the exchange you had with Rand Paul. I've spent 11
right?
years in public service defending the press. And when Senator Rand Paul comes on and says that what Donald Trump did, and the transcript is there, extorting a foreign government for his personal political gain.
Yep.
And that's exactly the same thing as Joe Biden, exactly the same thing as what he said, as Joe Biden saying that this prosecutor should be released when Joe Biden is acting in consistency with American foreign policy.
Yep.
And back then we had a whole list of things that had to be done. And this was American foreign policy. It was European Union policy. It was IMF policy that this prosecutor needed to go. When Rand Paul says that that's exactly the same thing as the president of the United States saying you need to find dirt on my political opponent. And with all due respect, Chuck, when you say, well, do two wrongs make a right? Let's be very clear. The president of the United States demanding, extorting a vulnerable country to do his political bidding, to go after his opponent, has nothing to do with Joe Biden executing the foreign policy of the United States or Hillary Clinton, who is a private citizen, doing opposition research on her presidential opponent. Those are radically different things, and what the president did is wrong and impeachable.
Let me ask you something. You just said,
and Chuck Todd,
you think the words quid pro quo
just moves on. He doesn't even address the reaming he just deservedly got from Jim Hines. Thank you to Jim Hines. Again, I'm not a big fan of his, but he said exactly what needed to be said there. And Chuck Todd just let it go and moved on to the next thing.
You know what else he let go? I don't know if I heard it right, but yeah. Didn't Rand Paul say, I wouldn't have authorized the money to go to Ukraine?
And what he should have said is that it's not up to you. Congress authorized and allocated those funds. It's not up to you. That's besides the point. That's not the question here. This president held up funds that were allocated by Congress for military aid for an ally of ours who's under attack by an adversary, and you held it up for personal political gain, period.
Not only that, but without even saying what Jim Himes said, which I'm glad he did.
Yep.
But Chuck Todd, all he had to do was say one sentence, and that is, those lies were debunked thoroughly.
Yep.
So what you're saying is irrelevant and it's wrong, and you're perpetuating just a smear campaign.
Exactly.
That has been debunked.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to go into detail. He doesn't have to say anything else. But he didn't defend what you just said about, you know, it's Congress who allocates the money, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And that money was going to help defend against Russia, by the way. Hello. Defend somebody we're working with and who matters to us as in our national security. So there's so many things wrong with what Rand Paul said there, and so many things wrong with what Chuck Todd didn't say there.
Yep.
That my head is still combusting.
Yeah, yours and mine both. So I heard about this. Actually, I didn't hear. You know, on Sundays, I go. Sunday's my day to work with the doggies. I volunteer at local animal shelter here. So I've been leaving really early because it's a whole thing. The shelter here in Fort Lauderdale is under fire because the mayor came by with some other animal advocates, and the kennels were disgusting because dogs poop in them, and they're understaffed, frankly, and especially on weekends. And so they're under fire with these really just some horrible press they've gotten. So I've been going in early to help them walking the dogs while they clean the kennels to get them out of there so they can clean. Anyway, I didn't watch any of the Sunday shows, and I came home and David said, oh my God, you got to hear, this thing between Chuck Todd and Rand Paul. And actually Jim Hines stood up and said everything that needed to be said. So I went and watched it, and just my jaw dropped. Not that I don't expect that kind of crap, but come on.
That's the thing. We should never expect that kind of crap.
Yep.
And so that's why your jaw dropped, because you're normal.
Yeah.
The people who don't let their jaws drop, whose instinct is just to pass along and let, you know, that's fine, and to accept what he just said, and that's just two sides. And no, that's what's abnormal. That's where we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. You're right. So while we're talking, by the way, I just got an email from Gabby Pacheco with the number to reach her at. So we'll take a few minutes at the end and I'll give her a call. Hopefully we'll be able to get her. But while we're here, got a laugh. You got some tweets to share with us?
I do.
Okay. All right, then. Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet.
In case you're new to the show and don't get it, gotta laugh. You know, we actually met on Twitter. Many years ago.
Yes,
it's got to be 10 years ago
back
already.
Back like 2009 or
something like that. But Laffy has a ridiculous amount of Twitter followers, and so one thing we do when we get together on Tuesdays is we go through Laffy's Twitter stream to find. You know, I get a lot of breaking news from Twitter. I get it faster from Twitter than the alerts I get from, and I get them all the time from the Washington Post and New York Times on my phone. They pop up, but I see them on Twitter before I even see them on those alerts. So, you know, it is a good breaking news tool, and it's snarky and bitchy all at the same time.
It is. I'm going to start off with your best friend, Joy Reid.
Oh, boy.
Because it's the only thing I had on DACA, because honestly, I figured you'd be covering it. And it's like that kind of story that everybody knows about. So I don't really get into it that much because I try to
the thing is that today DACA was heard at the Supreme Court. This is what everything has been leading up to. And
but everything I was seeing was just news report.
Right.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nothing stood out to me. But she had a good comeback, which I think people need to remember.
Okay.
NBC, she was responding to an NBC report, of course, any report, that says Trump compares some DACA recipients to, quote, hardened criminals in Tuesday morning tweet, but said if the Supreme Court rules the way he prefers, he will cut a deal with Democrats. Okay, so she said, hello, this is the most obvious thing in the world that I didn't see anybody else saying, believe it or not. One of the rules for participating in DACA is that you cannot have a criminal record.
Right.
By definition,
exactly.
DACA recipients are the opposite of criminals.
Yep. Exactly. There's such strict restrictions on who can be in the program that, you know, Trump's tweet is bullshit, but everything he says is bullshit.
Yeah. Every single thing he says is bullshit. And speaking of vetting, wait, let me, I wasn't going to do this story first, but I'm going to do it anyway now. Because speaking of vetting people, because DACA recipients are vetted so heavily that they are not criminals,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, weirdly, Trump has hired somebody, and she's still there. Senior Trump official, this is from NBC, senior Trump official Mina Chang, the deputy assistant secretary.
I know this story. Right? Yes. Yep.
Bureau of Conflict and Stability Operations embellished her resume and had her face on a fake Time cover when she went to apply for the job. She was being considered for an even bigger government job, one with a budget of more than $1 billion, until Congress started asking questions about her resume.
Yeah.
And then I said, so much for extreme vetting. It goes on to say the gap between Chang's actual qualifications and her claims appears to be the latest example of lax vetting by the Trump administration, which has become known for its many job vacancies and appointments made without thorough screening.
Uh-huh.
And then Mitchell reports had reported she got hired anyway and that she's still there.
Wow.
And then one follow-up on that is a tweet by Mrs. Olson Says, just a random person on Twitter. She's also a windmill cancer survivor.
I'll have to remember that one.
God. Anyway, but yeah, so they hired Mina Chang, and she's still there.
Oh, my God. She lied about everything. She lied.
Everything.
Yes. There was one main thing. I can't even remember what it was, but there was one like...
Harvard.
Hello.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I guess if you're going to lie, you may as well go big, but really?
Yeah. She took like a 4-week course or something, or a 4-hour course or something at Harvard. It, you know, it happened to be housed at Harvard, and she said she was a Harvard... She didn't say graduate. She said... I forgot.
Alumni.
Something like that, she did, you know. Anyway, I took down my link, so I can't read you the rest. But yeah,
right.
She lied about every single thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, that's cool. You're really pretty, so you're hired.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, well, that's Trump's criteria, I believe.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Here's some fun. I saw you had this on your feed. There's another court loss for Trump today. Yes, another court loss for Trump. Trump Organization has agreed to pay $290,000 to the Scottish government, ending a multi-year legal battle in which Trump tried and failed to block an offshore wind farm from being built in view of one of his Scottish golf courses.
Wow. This just came in. Roger Stone rests and calls no witnesses. Closing arguments tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Oh, here's more on that. If you want to, the story came up on my, isn't that weird, on my phone just now about Miss Fake Time cover person.
Right, the same woman, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find the part about Harvard.
By the way, the thing is, she, you know, they're making such a big deal out of the fact that she, you know, had a fake Time magazine cover made with her photo on it. Donald Trump did the same thing, lest you forget.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just pointing that out, yeah.
Darn it, I can't find, I'm not going to sit here and take the time
to
look through it. Okay, anyway, here's something that we all know, but now it's being documented because there's a batch of emails that has been leaked. The Southern Poverty Law Center, they have a batch of emails sent by White House policy advisor Stephen Miller to Breitbart.
Oh, yes.
Right, to Breitbart in 2015-2016 that document his affinity for white nationalist ideas and sources. And it goes on like this. In the run-up to the 2016 election, This, by the way, had come from Matt Ford of the New Republic. Okay. White House senior policy advisor Stephen Miller, or should I say racist Stephen Miller, promoted White House nationalist literature, pushed racist immigration stories, and obsessed over the loss of Confederate symbols after Dylan Roof's murderous rampage, according to leaked emails. Miller also used a personal Hotmail address in the emails and did so both before and after he started working for Trump. Her emails, HateWatch confirmed authenticity of Miller's Hotmail address through emails sent from his government address, in which he lists it as his future point of contact. That's a double whammy.
Yes,
not
it
only
is.
Did he leak racist emails, but they're from his private account.
Yeah.
Oh, and my. Oh, here it is. Okay, I thought my computer was screwing up. In the first of what he will be a series about those emails, HateWatch exposes the racist source material that has influenced Miller's visions of policy. That source material, as laid out in his emails to Breitbart, includes white nationalist websites, mm-hmm. a white genocide-themed novel in which Indian men rape white women, xenophobic conspiracy theories, and eugenics-era immigration laws that Adolf Hitler lauded in Mein Kampf.
Wow. Yes. I'm actually looking at the article at the Southern Poverty Law Center website. It's at splcenter.org/hatewatch, and then there's more after that. But the headline is Stephen Miller's affinity for white nationalism revealed in leaked emails. Don't you think his new fiance's got to be so proud right now?
Oh, yes. I'm sure she's asking for a white diamond. sorry, couldn't help it. Let's see. Miller's perspective on race and immigration across the emails is repetitious. When discussing crime, which he does scores of times, Miller focuses on offenses committed by non-whites. On immigration, he touches solely on the perspective of severely limiting or ending non-white immigration to the United States. HateWatch was unable to find any examples of Miller writing sympathetically or even in neutral tones about any person who was non-white or foreign-born. It just goes on and on. I mean, it's one thing after another.
Right.
It's all horrible.
It's disgusting. It is truly disgusting. I will make sure to post that article on the blog today along with the podcast at NicoleSandler.com, because it is worse than you think it is. And what's even more disgusting, I mean, you look at his background, Stephen Miller's a Jewish. And just knowing what his family's history is, to be this xenophobic and bigoted, it just makes my stomach turn.
It makes no sense to me. I never, it's like women for Trump. I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
but
nor do I.
They hate Democrats more. So,
yeah, I guess.
Okay. So I think you already reported on this in your What's News about the Supreme Court will let, or not What's News, just before that, the Supreme Court will let a lawsuit go forward against a gun maker over the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting. That was Remington that you mentioned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, good news.
That's really good news.
That's really good news. So that was
as opposed to the DACA news, which is that the Supreme Court will likely rule against DACA.
Yep.
Which is insane.
Yes, it is. I know.
I can't. I can't. Oh God. Okay. MT Wheel is so smart.
Yeah.
Marcy Wheeler.
Yes, she is.
She's so smart. She always has these unusual takes on all this law news, you know, that we're hearing all the time, all these court cases. Now, right now, Trump's been trying to dangle a first phone call memo or transcript, as he calls it, that he's going to be putting out this week, he says, that he claims will exonerate him and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the first phone call with Zelensky. Which
nobody
was contesting that. Apparently it was a standard congratulations, you won your election. Good for you. Nice to know you. We'll talk down the road. There was nothing, there was no substance to it. It was a run of the mill congratulatory phone call. Nobody's asked for this, but Donald Trump is like, ooh, I'm going to release the transcript from the other call. Well, nobody asked you to. We don't care.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just irrelevant. But okay, but so he's doing this and people are talking about it, right? So, ooh, there's another call. You know, people who don't do a lot of reading about this probably think there's more to it than there is. Well, MG Will says the proper response in a tweet, she says, the proper in caps response when Trump is trying to shiny object you is to point out all the things, the full transcript of the July 25th call, the Pence transcript, the Putin transcripts, his tax returns, all the things that Trump is supposed to be releasing instead. Don't look at the shiny object.
Yep.
Point out what he is withholding.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. He's withholding those for a reason. He's withholding his tax returns because, one, he must have or maybe did something illegal, probably. And two, he doesn't have the money he says he has. And three, he's a jerk.
Right. But he lost the. OK, so the New York Attorney General lawsuit, she come out on top and said, and then the court ruled that Trump had to turn over his tax returns to the New York State. He fought that in court. He lost yesterday. And the court said, and it was a Trump appointed judge on top of it who said, sorry, that's not my jurisdiction. You're going to have to take that to another court. Go away.
Yep. Which he will.
Yeah, of course he will. Well, and that's the reason. That's the reason why they've given up on really trying to get Bolton or Mulvaney to testify, because they will tie it up on the courts for so long, and basically they figured they've got all the information anyway through other witnesses. It just sucks that the obstruction is impeachable. So I hope they make that another article of impeachment.
What they're saying.
Right.
They're saying that with each of those people who has obstructed, that will go right to another article of impeachment. Mm-hmm. That they're assuming that person has nothing exculpatory to say and only inculpatory.
Right.
It's easy to draw that inference, because otherwise they wouldn't be fighting so hard, which means they're blocking information that could further inculpate him. So, we'll see what they do with all this, but that's what they say they're going to do.
Yep.
But MG Wheel is completely right. Marcy is right. The proper response when he's trying to dangle out all these little shiny keys is to say, oh, really? Well, what about the full transcript of the July 25th call? What about the Pence? We'd love to know about what Pence had to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
I sure would.
Yep.
Here's something that it just kind of came and went, and like nobody's commenting on it. It's
what's
hysterical.
That?
Mark Sanford ended his 2020
yes, he did. I forgot to put it in What's News.
He's just like, oh, yeah, that's
oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, Deval, what's his name? Deval Patrick. Deval Patrick.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You and Eric Holder and Michael Bloomberg, go hold a party somewhere. Go do your own thing. You'll get as much attention as you will in this presidential race. Unbelievable. The gall
and speaking
of some people. Yes.
Being pissed off at the race right now. I am so annoyed right now because there's a poll that came out that showed Buttigieg ahead in Iowa.
Yeah.
And he's within the margin of error of the usual top tier people, you know, the usual.
Yep.
But everyone's going to be making this huge. It is a thing that he had a big jump. That's the thing.
It is.
I get that.
Yes. But it's Iowa. Number one, it is Iowa, where there are no people of color. I know I'm overgeneralizing. I'm sure there's a handful of people of color in Iowa. But it is not a state brimming with racial diversity. Iowa
well, it's
is
also
a very
the caucuses.
Right. And
things,
it's caucus.
Things are very fluid with caucuses.
That's true.
So,
but the thing is, Pete Buttigieg has a 0% rating. Approval rating among African Americans. He has 0% support among African Americans. Guess what? Black women are the biggest voting bloc in the Democratic Party. If you don't have the support of Black women, you're not going very far. Mayor Pete, go home. Just stop it already. Go run for Congress or the Senate. Get some qualifications and come back in 10 years. That's my advice.
No. And he was also for Medicare for All before he was against it.
Of course he was.
You know. And also, but what really annoys me about this whole thing, other than everything else we just said, is that the media is all over this. It's now going to be 24/7 Buttigieg. Oh, he's the up-and-comer.
Ugh.
Oh, and what's his name? Chris Matthews. I don't know why
God.
I put the TV on.
I don't know how you
just
watch that. See, I can't go there. I'm more allergic to Chris Matthews than I am to Shuck Toad.
Oh, and I'm the opposite because I think Chris Matthews has a funny sense of humor.
Oh, God.
So every so often he'll pull me in with a joke or
something. Fingernails on a blackboard to me. Fingernails on a blackboard.
His show drives me nuts. But what I do is I flip on the TV while I'm doing stuff. So
I hear.
Okay. Yep. You know, there's a little news item. Oh, okay. But he is full on Pete Buttigieg. Yeah. He thinks he's going to just say, yeah, I told you. I see. Look at that. In Iowa. See.
Yep.
And that's, and then the press jumps on those kinds of comments. They are going to elevate Buttigieg now, make him into the new front runner.
Of course.
Like they did the same thing with Kamala Harris,
yes,
frankly.
Right, because they want anybody but Bernie or Warren now.
Right.
For a while there, they were touting Elizabeth Warren until she, you know, got in the lead. And then they're just like, oh my God, we can't have that. The billionaires don't like her. Oh no.
Yeah. Which sells me more on her than anything they can say.
Of course.
Anyway, Susan Hennessy.
Uh-huh.
Susan Hennessy is with Lawfare. And I just realized now for the first time, because I really never look at my online page that carefully that I'm looking at right now when I have my tweets up, that there's a whole column on the right that gives me their bios.
Oh.
I don't have to keep jumping over.
Oh,
like
interesting.
I used to. Yeah.
Nice.
So Lawfare executive editor.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, she is.
Anyway, she said... she's responding to Brian Stelter, who said Trump. Nikki Haley.
Yes.
The whole
Haley
thing is driving me nuts. I can't stand her, and I'm sick of her.
And it pisses me off because I was always Nikki growing up, and she even spells it the way I did. To my family, I'm still Nikki, but when I went to college, I used my real name again. But it bugs me that we share a name.
Oh yeah, that would bother me too. I get that.
Yeah.
So Brian Stelter, she's commenting on this. Brian Stelter tweeted, Trump is truthful, Nikki Haley says. Savannah Guthrie asked, did you think he was a truthful person?
Ugh.
Yes, Haley said. In every instance that I dealt with him, he was truthful. He listened and he was great to work with. All right. So Susan Hennessy says yesterday on NPR, Haley dismissed the many women with credible allegations of rape and sexual assault against Trump by saying she had never seen it personally, and that Trump had been elected anyway. When people like Haley show you who they are, believe them.
Right.
Okay, and then she goes on to say, and I have some comments on that, but then Susan Hennessy goes on to say, she then absurdly said that if Trump had said the words on the Access Hollywood tape in front of her, she would have quit.
Oh,
but she had no qualms looking for a man who had been caught on
tape. But because she didn't say it in front of her? Because he didn't say those words in front of her?
He didn't rape someone in front of her?
Oh, my God.
How many people do you know who will rape someone in front of you? I mean, sure, every rapist goes to parties with their friends and says, well, if you excuse me, I'm just going to go over here on the couch and drag this woman over.
Right.
You guys don't mind, right? And they'll go, oh, no, as long as we can see you, then we can talk about it
then
later.
Then I'll know you actually. Hey, No, I can't even, and it's sickening. And she wants to be president. She's angling for Mike Pence's job position on the ticket, and she's angling to be the president when Trump has either run out of office or whatever, keels over or whatever happens to him. Something will happen to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he gets nailed is what I hope happens to him.
Yeah, you and me both. Hey, Laffy, you know what? We're getting close to the end of the hour. Do you mind? Just stay right there. Let me try to call Gabby Pacheco and see if we can get her on the line because, frankly, no. Hold on.
I heard that.
Yeah, I think I'm not logged in. All right, give us the next one. I'm going to try to log into Skype on this computer.
This is sort of a recap of what you've already said, but Molly McHugh, who is a writer with she's a foreign policy and strategy consultant. She said, meanwhile, over in the Roger Stone trial, Rick Gates just confirmed candidate Trump, Manafort, Bannon, had advanced knowledge of WikiLeaks releases in 2016, which, you know, was one of the first questions in this whole investigation.
What was?
That they had advanced knowledge of the WikiLeaks releases.
Yes, of course. And now it comes full circle. Don't you love it when that happens?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do. Did you get hold of her?
No. I got to figure out how to bring up. I was going to bring up Skype on the other computer and then conference them together, but it's not letting me log in for some reason. I don't even know my login. You know what? So let me try. I don't even know. I'm afraid if I try to bring her in while we're talking, it's going to screw up and cut you off. I wonder. Hold on. Let me just try this.
Well, it's okay if I get cut off. I'll save my goodbyes now just in case.
Okay.
And thank you. Because you want to talk to her anyway. I'll just sit here and listen. So that's
fine. But hold on one second because I got to dial her. And this is what happens when I'm multitasking. Let me see if this will even work. It's times like this when I could use a producer, but my studio isn't even set up to work with a producer. So that wouldn't work either. All right. So now hopefully, there. Okay, Laffy, you're still there. Let's see if I do this, if it will add her to the call. We'll find out in a minute. We'll see.
I'm sorry. The person you were trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up.
Oh, no. All right. So that's not going to work. And Laffy, you still there? And of course, I cut off, got a laugh. It figures, you know, best laid plans and all that. Unless, oh, she's still there. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Laffy, don't hang up. Are you still there?
Now I am.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it didn't even go through. So whatever. Okay. We'll get her on another day this week.
I'll read you what I was starting to read. I thought you were... while I was reading, so yeah. I'm sorry. The Hill was reporting yesterday that former coal executive Don Blankenship launches third-party presidential bid. Don Blankenship, he said Trump means well, but he simply cannot get it done because he's too busy mending his self-inflicted wounds and tripping over his ego. Now, if you remember, Don Blankenship was sentenced to a year in prison for conspiring to violate federal mine safety standards and had 29 men were killed.
Oh, my God. Yes, I remember that. Don Blankenship should be in jail. He shouldn't be running for president.
Yep,
but that's funny that he's an ever-Trumper, I guess.
Yep. He says that, you know, Trump's been tripping over his own ego. So there he is to trip over his own ego.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that fun? Paula Fari of Washington Post said, name a time when this is in quotes. This is from Trump Jr.
Okay.
Name a time when conservatives have disrupted even the furthest leftist on a college campus, Trump Jr. said to the crowd. It doesn't happen that way. We're willing to listen. And then a group of far-right conservatives heckled him off stage. Leftists only do that.
Yes.
Righties don't
right.
do that.
Right, no, and apparently there were two factions of right-wing crazies that were fighting with each other, who was more heinous than the other. And they and they went after each other, and they ran Don and Kimberly off the stage.
Kimberly tried to be a smartass to the crowd, and she was sitting there looking all cocky, and Donnie Jr. was looking at her with pride. And actually what came out of her mouth, that she intended to be some kind of a smear to the audience, turned out to be a dud. It was ridiculous. Anyway, here's something that I liked that I haven't seen anybody really talk about. Ellie Honig of CNN said, apparently Daniel Goldman will be doing the questioning for House Intel Dems this week.
Yep.
He said, Dan and I tried a Genovese family boss and two hitmen on a case involving RICO, two murders, one attempted murder, and two murder conspiracies. All are guilty and now doing life. He'll do fine.
Yeah, I guess he used to be an MSNBC guy and then went to work for the Intelligence Committee, and now he's going to do questioning. Yep. So tomorrow, all the action gets underway at, I believe, 9 a.m., although I'm not sure if the testimony, I think the testimony begins at
7 a.m. testimony.
Okay, so the testimony begins at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. I'm pretty sure that by the time 3 p.m. rolls around, which is when the live show begins here, they will be done. I will do
my best
to bring highlights, and I don't have a guest book for tomorrow. I thought we'd just go through what happens and testimony and stuff. So I will do that. So throughout the week, we're going to sort of play this by ear, and throughout the weeks, I guess, of the testimony going forward, throughout the weeks of the impeachment hearing, we're going to cover it here best we can. So I'm still waiting for that piece of equipment. I need to go live at 5 o'clock, which, these hearings may go up until 5 or beyond. And so I want to be able to carry it live. I'm bugging the Progressive Voices people to get this done so we can move the live show. Just so you know, it's not me. I'm not dragging my feet. I'm waiting to hear from them on this very expensive piece of equipment that I need in order for them to be able to pick up the live feed. So that's why I'm still on at 3 Eastern, so I can get the show produced and uploaded so it can air on Progressive Voices at 5. But I'm working on it. So just know I haven't dropped the ball. It's still a goal. I sent them an email this morning saying, come on, guys, the impeachment hearings are starting. It would be better if I could be live at 5. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Well, thank you a second time.
I know tomorrow we'll all be glued to the television. It sounds like I know PBS is carrying it live. I know CBS is carrying it live. Haven't heard about NBC, or ABC yet. I'm sure
all the cable channels are.
The question is anybody going to repeat it at night in prime time? And that's what Bill Moyers was on with Brian Stelter over the weekend. I did watch that show, the taped show. And he was imploring PBS to do the right thing and repeat it in prime time so people who work during the day and maybe don't have cable can get it on their regular television. So we'll see if that
happens.
They
said they wouldn't, I thought.
Yeah, I think they're putting it on some like high-def channel or something that nobody has access to.
Oh, God.
C-SPAN. You're right. Diane Russell in the YouTube chat room said, pretty sure C-SPAN will. And hopefully they will. They'll run it at night, as they should. Anyway, until tomorrow, we will be all over the impeachment hearing. So you'll get the highlights here. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Laffy.
Okay, thank you, too.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. See you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Onward to impeachment.